Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I was so, felt so positive being called a queen above 18, and how he was so, made me feel good about myself. And I just thought, I'm in the chat room with him.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Dr. After Dark. Another great episode. Get those voice message into us at 818-253-1693. And of course, the emails at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. We have too many emails, too much good stuff, Christina
I
B.
I can't wait.
I know.
Are there white problems, yellow problems, brown problems?
There's white and brown. A lot of white and brown, I must tell you. One of the brown problems you and I solved with a great experiment by breaking Tom into multiple pieces, putting him in the hospital, constipating him, and then what happened?
Oh, my God.
What did you learn because of Tom's inability to take a shit?
Oh, my God, you're right, because we called you from... So Tom's in the hospital. He broke his arm and he snapped a tendon in his knee playing basketball with Bert.
Didn't he break his patella also?
I don't know. He snapped a tendon under it. He can't bend it for 6 weeks. That's what I
heard. There was a patella fracture too, and that's a worser injury.
It's way worse. Hey man, listen, it's all fucked. All right. My husband is
so fucked up.
Bed bound. He can't get up to shit. So
thank you, 2020.
Yeah, this is like the worst year. So any hoodles. He hasn't shit since Tuesday. This is a week now.
Yeah.
When the accident happened, because they're pumping him full of Dilaudin and all these oxys.
Yep. And he can't get up to the toilet anyway. He has to shit in a bedpan, which has got to be fun for him.
So here's the fun part is that he was farting an awful lot because they pumped him full of Colace.
Farting a lot and...
They did not push the shit out.
Thank you.
I know. I couldn't believe
it. They called me to tell me he was farting, and I said, What have you learned?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was shocked. Mm-hmm. I was shocked that farts did not push the shit out. You're right. There's no causal relation. What do they call it in your community? The medical?
Association.
Association. But when he finally did brown, the brown came down, and he was bedridden.
Oh, you got to it. Good. Oh, good. It must have hurt, too.
Oh, it was hurtful, and it was smelly, and...
I'm glad you were there for it.
Oh, I was there for it.
Congratulations.
I was there. I helped.
Oh, no.
He had to shit in one of those, you know.
Bedpans? Oh, commodes.
We tried the bedpan. No go.
Commode.
It was a nightmare.
You had to hold his leg up while he's...
I wiped and held everything up.
You were such a great wife.
I know. I'm going to ask for stuff after this. I don't know what.
You think blowjobs was a tall order?
I know.
I mean, come on now.
For better or for worse.
You welcome those days again.
Fuck. I know.
Just a BJ.
Just a week ago, my life was so much easier with that. But he is recovering. He's in a great place, and they're taking good care of him, thankfully. And but then the neat part, too, is I'm in the hospital with him yesterday, and I ordered a delicious sushi lunch.
This was neat. Very
this is
neat.
The neatest part. Mm-hmm. And I get my roll. I walk, by the way, I risk my life to get it. I had the Postmates deliver it right next to the ER entrance.
The COVID entrance.
The COVID entrance. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need a good lunch. I don't give a fuck if I get this.
Thank you for bringing the COVID here today.
You got it. And I'm biting into my beautiful Matsuhisa hand roll. I mean, it was exquisite. And I feel my front tooth just, you know when you feel it in your head when a dental thing happens? Mm-hmm. And I look at Tom and I go, is it gone? He's like, your tooth is gone. So my tooth fell.
There it is.
My fucking veneer came off. And I had to call the dentist and go get the veneer glued back on. Of course, I said that on Instagram that he beat me. He didn't. But that's what it looks like under when they shave down your teeth.
I saw that. And I thought, it's got to be a joke, right? Right? I'm so sorry. Oh, my God.
Hey, man, it's 2020. It's the end of a perfect year. And
I'm just thinking out loud. That's Christina P as a cool guy. You got the teeth now.
I got the teeth.
You just pop off all your veneers and you could be a cool guy.
You're right.
So
I think that's why I'm so judgmental of people that don't fix their teeth, because I'm so into it. Like, I'm like, how can you walk around without a front tooth? It's terrible. It's painful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's
yeah, you're not a little bit into it.
I'm obsessed with these chompers. These are good.
And then you sit from on high and judge everyone else's teeth.
I so do. Because even when I was broke, I was like, Here's teeth, your credit baby. Card. Fix the teeth. These are the money makers. Look.
Yeah, I know they're great. They're awesome. How many of those are yours?
Everything except a couple of crowns down here. I ate a lot of Mentos.
What do you mean everything? We know that there's some stuff going on up front.
Well, everything but, yeah, these two are fake. And then I ate a lot of candy in high school and I lost these two molars to root canals. Everything else is mine.
All right, good
How
job.
About you? What you got?
I got some stuff going on down here, veneer.
Those
everything
are great.
Else, everything's mine.
Yeah, you're lucky.
I cracked my teeth and the cap popped off or something and then it was like, We're getting into this now. Let's just do the whole thing.
Yeah. Once you see the thing is just once you damage them, it's over.
Yeah.
Like I broke half of this tooth out as a kid, and that's why
it's
I
a new
I have
podcast,
veneers.
Just dental talk.
That's why we do a dental update on YMH because it's so boring, but not like I kind of love talking about this.
I know
shit.
You do. It's a little abnormal. Yeah. It's a little weird.
Yeah, it's the only thing I have control over.
But I love making you happy. So,
especially
in the face of what you're dealing with.
Oh my God.
So do you want to recap for people that maybe haven't visited on any of the other podcasts what exactly happened here?
Yeah. Okay.
And you know.
So from what I understand, I got a call from my husband on Tuesday around 8 o'clock. He was in an ambulance and he's like, I broke my arm. They're taking me to an ambulance. I'm fine. I'm like, you're not fine if you're in an ambulance. My husband's an idiot. He thought he was
it him or was it Bert? To be fair, should we blame Bert
it's
or
both
blame
these
Tom?
Idiots?
Them together is a bad combo. You need to understand that the potential for shenanigans is truly unlimited. Sort of see also infinity. Right, because so do not sit there and think, oh, is this enough now? Because the answer is no.
Yeah,
the answer is no.
So, yeah, I think they're having a hard time comprehending that they're in their 40s and they can't do what they did in their 20s. He's in the fucking hospital. It's horrible.
And when you know, if you remember early on, he was resisting to going to the hospital. That's when I was freaking out.
That was the best part. Not resisting, Drew. He checked himself.
I understand.
Out of the ER.
And you were you were going along with it.
I hadn't seen him yet.
I'm sorry. He's going to the hospital. You know, back in the day before there was things like orthopedic surgery, people would get injuries like this and lie in bed and die. They would get pneumonia and blood clots and all kinds of things. And so I'm like, no, he's going to the hospital. Do you understand? Do you hear me? Well, he's going to go to the orthopedist. I go, and immediately after that, he's going to the hospital.
I know.
And of course, he goes to the orthopedist. The guy's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Why aren't you in the hospital? So,
I mean, I'll let them get into the details, but just getting him back into the hospital was crazy. I mean, how do you move a bear with a broken half side of his body? I was like, and our house is nothing but stairs.
And little kids jumping around.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's all good, though. We're on the other end, hopefully.
Are we? You feeling okay?
No, I think the dental
no.
stuff. Yeah, I'm fucked. I mean, but I'm glad to be here with you and to get my mind off of this.
Yeah,
stuff.
I'm trying. I want to make sure you're okay because I called you a couple times. I'm more worried about you than him. He's on pain meds. He's been taken care of. He's gonna be fine.
I know.
But you're the one sort of holding up your Atlas. You know,
I know.
You're
I know.
Holding all together.
Well, you know what? I've got a.
You got to hold your mom's house together. Oh, your kids God. Together. Your husband. You have to help him shit.
I know.
And wipe his ass.
Well, let me.
And
tell
this could
you
go
something.
On for a while.
For at least 6 to 8 weeks, at least with the leg. Two years.
A month. It's going to be a nasty month. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something, Drew.
At 6 weeks, you'll have mastered all this stuff. So.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Tell me something.
Is that I am a tough Eastern European motherfucker. You see, I wear my fucking three stripes today, homie, because nothing can get me down, bitches. These Americans, they cry about shit. Mm-hmm. Not me, bitch. Mm-hmm. All right? I'm standing in front of the fucking ICU ordering my sushi. Fuck you, COVID. Hey, fuck you, 2020. I'm on this shit. I handle.
It's especially meaningful in the track outfit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is
like
my power,
that.
Dude. This is my super.
I think whatever
uniform.
Yeah, whatever further Rational Revolution imagery we get, you've got to be in an Adidas outfit.
Of course, this is
maybe
this
both
is
of us.
The symbol of toughness. Fuck you, bitch.
It's fantastic.
Thank you. How have you been? Well, I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. I missed you. I've been all right. I've been a little depressed. You know, just the COVID thing gets me. Freaked out a little
bit.
Well,
especially now we just got a special text that we're supposed to
shelter in place or whatever. It's like, fuck you. It's like enough.
It's so exhausting because if everything is an emergency, then nothing is an emergency.
This is my point, which is they were sheltering us in place when we were literally at 1/10 this volume of cases, right? So, and by the way, at 1/10 this outbreak, the current outbreak, the words were grim, staggering, shattering, cataclysmic. Well, what do we call this that we're in now?
I don't, there's no way to measure it.
And the other problem, wait a minute, it's infinity. The other thing is everyone in this part of the country knows someone who's been sick and they're all fine.
You know.
What did you learn going through the COVID unit
okay,
at
here's
Cedars?
Okay, here's what I'll tell you. So I did go through it yesterday.
Yeah.
And I went with someone who worked at the facility. Mm-hmm. And I go, how many people are in the ICU? 108. How many were here last week? He said like 10. So yes, the numbers are scaling bigger. Yes. But
and,
I'll
and
tell
they need
you,
to expand their capacity, which they're doing.
Which
them.
Is yeah. huge hospitals.
Yeah.
The thing is, the people I saw getting wheeled around were elderly folks.
Like 80 plus,
yo.
85 plus.
Yo.
Yeah. So that's who ends up in the ICU.
Like they would have broken a hip anyways and been there for some other shit.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So so here we are in Panicsville. I got a text from Mark Garagos, who's an attorney, that he's suing on behalf of the restaurant organization.
I think they should.
For non-evidence-based draconian measures. I want to go out. There's a little loophole here. I think you should join us for this.
Oh.
I got a friend who's a restaurateur. It's open the restaurant. And as a political demonstration, sit down and have a dinner with our flags. We're demonstrating. It's our First Amendment privilege to demonstrate.
Oh, that's right. And you're allowed to go to church now and you're allowed to protest.
So. Right. My protest will be having a steak dinner.
It's a great idea.
And, you want to join us?
I'd love to join
and
you.
And we will all stand up.
Hey,
and we'll wear our trucks.
Defiance.
And we will have, my son, who's a law student, said it'd be better if we created a flag.
Oh.
So how about one of our?
It's a great idea.
Rational recovery
with three stripes instead of what is it? 13 for the colonies?
Just
I don't know. But the thing is, there is no evidence that you're right. There's no evidence supporting.
None. And I keep asking for just please one piece,
one
of
study,
science, one evidence, one piece, one study, one. The only study they have is they have a study in Arkansas. Where these two women got COVID, were sick for a week, cut hair for a week, and wearing a mask and doing all the good things they do in salons, the transmission rate was zero.
Yeah, so.
Well, there's a study.
So that stuff works.
That's a study.
Yeah.
By the same token, they have indoor restaurant data that shows that that's a problem, which is why they specified all the outdoor things.
Yeah.
And then they just arbitrarily, with no evidence.
My favorite was Gavin Newsom's tweet over Thanksgiving. Hey guys, don't forget to wear your mask in between bites.
Oh my God. And the vaccine is like, it's in maybe next.
Let's talk about that.
I'm going to go get it as fast as I can. So I'm either going to get it because I'm in the 1A group. As a healthcare provider, I'm going to be in that group. So
it's
if
exciting.
I get it quick, I'm going to get it. Or I'm going to go on the Johnson & Johnson phase 3 for their vaccine. I signed up for that too. And I signed my wife up for it because you can get it really easily.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Cedars, they were saying that next week that the healthcare, these people will be getting it. But a lot of the staff are afraid to take it.
Oh.
Word on the street
is. I'll take theirs. Fine. No problem. Done.
Well, what? Because there was one study that it does neurological damage.
Oh, stop
but
it.
What did you say?
Don't
yeah.
Stop it.
You said these people are pussies. They're weak.
I didn't say they're pussies and weak. I said they looked at it. They've proceeded. It's fine. It's
Must
fine.
Be French.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
These pussies.
So every time you do your Eastern European thing, there's that young woman out there that does the imitations of you, which I think are so freaking hysterical. I can't get enough of it.
She's great.
She keeps coming up with more.
Does she? I haven't been paying attention to anything.
Oh, yes. What's
her
name?
I'll check her out.
Dom, I think you know who she is. She studied.
She's something like that.
Kayla.
Yeah. She studies you like she's watching the Zapruder tape. She's literally studying you.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's good. Okay.
All right.
Well, we'll see it. Should we help people with their...
And we can.
Yellow, white, and brown?
You want silliness.
The flag should be yellow, white, and brown.
How about each of the different
Adidas? No yellow, white, and brown for a show. I know I want to help someone else. Look, get out of my head.
Here we go. Hey, Hitler. I've got a cool girlfriend who loves to do the nasty blah, blah, blah. The only issue is she is not like Mrs. Pinsky. She doesn't do BJs because she's terrified of white.
Yeah.
I had an idea of getting my prostate removed.
Oh, no.
So I could get BJ after BJ and have to worry about the white. Is that a good idea?
You know the answer to that.
That would get rid of your white, but that's not a good idea. It's
afraid?
A big operation.
I think she's afraid of swallowing the white. I think that might be.
Yeah, and by the way, your male compatriots really don't care about
don't
that part.
Don't give a shit, unless they're Bert. Bert gets personally offended if Leanne doesn't swallow it.
What?
Because he thinks it's a part of him, and she explained how where my mom's at, that he needs to feel like she takes him in.
Oh my God. He's such a boy.
Such a psycho.
He's such a child. Did you hear we discovered where his quicksand porn came from?
No.
Oh. So I was interviewing Leanne and she said he's got this fetish around quicksand and boobs and quicksand. And I started, and Nadav threw up a, I said something, but it's got to be Gilligan's Island because that's yes. where you run into quicksand all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And lo and behold, there were some quicksand episodes with Ginger and Marianne with their boobs sticking out, stuck in the quicksand. And he confirmed.
Isn't that funny?
And that's what's funny is the 12 to 13, 14 yeah. year old male. Wait till your little boys grow up. Be careful what you expose them to
because
it becomes a thing if it's stimulating in just that special way.
I talk about on Where My Mom's At how you get cartoon crushes very early.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And my first one was Mighty Mouse when I was five. I just thought he was so...
Here I come to save the day.
He's handsome and valiant and like... I mean, the weird thing of being attracted to a cartoon animal, although it is an anthropomorphized.
Everything.
Yeah, it's so weird. What is that about?
You know what? They all have all these exaggerated features, right? And your little brain is sort of geared up to be attracted to some of those features, and the cartoon amplifies it.
Yeah.
And there you go. And for the young males, the females are hyper-femalized, right?
Yeah.
Jessica Rabbit or whatever.
Oh, my God,
And so their little brains kind of can't handle it, and off they go. Interesting.
So interesting.
I'm sure I had some of that, too.
Who was your first cartoon crush? Think back. What were you watching as a kid? What was cool?
Penelope Pitstop? I don't know.
I don't even know that reference.
You shouldn't. It's way too long ago.
Dude. She was... I remember her. What cartoon was this? I remember this as a kid.
It's like Perils of Penelope Pitstop.
She's hot, dude.
Yeah, man.
Dude, she's smoking, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
She's smoke show. Oh, but anyway, your fear of white. I think she's afraid of swallowing the white.
Yeah. So, dispose of it wherever you will.
Yeah, I have a little tricky trick.
Ooh.
You just spit it into your hand and wipe it on the bed.
Or have a nice plant nearby or something. something.
Weinstein it.
Question about the potency of white. 25-year-old woman, boyfriend 5 years, 30. He told me that he was going through puberty. One of his nuts descended late, and the doctor said he needed some sort of procedure done or was unlikely he would have children. He never had the procedure done. We're wondering if it did affect the potency of his white. It could. I also have polycystic ovarian disease. Don't know. We don't use birth control. Are we needlessly risky? Yes. Are our chances of getting pregnant as low as I think they are? I have no idea. I mean, they're somewhat reduced by the polycystic ovarian disease, a little bit. And him having one non-descended testy, he still has a testy at full strength. So I would say consider yourself at risk.
Yeah. Every woman I know who's like, well, I was on birth control. I have this thing and my husband has this thing. And we got pregnant. That's every story of every girl who gets pregnant.
Right, exactly.
So, yes.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
I dip her down.
That just made my day again.
That's me reading something.
I got COVID.
I want your opinion on this, Christina.
Yep.
I hate my cervix with a passion.
Okay. Sounds rational.
It's sensitive as hell to even a tap from the penis, enough to make me feel like I'm being stabbed.
Yes.
I cannot do doggy style with anyone any longer than maybe 5 inches because it's too deep in that position. Feels like I'm dying with every thrust. And of course, men
think it's awesome.
We're so screwed up.
You guys are like, that's awesome.
We're like, look at the noise she's making. Look what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's so good.
Is there anything to be done to get the doggy I deserve?
Yes. Okay. It's called Side Meat Mommy.
Ooh,
you guys are going to lay...
Side Meat Mommy. Okay. Here we go.
This might be something we have utilized in our private life when Mommy was very pregnant.
Side Meat Mommy.
Tom and
who
gained,
named
like,
it that?
80 pounds. We did. So Side Meat Mommy.
No, it had to come from somebody first.
Oh, because when you lay on your side is when your fat comes out
but
more.
But who first labeled it Side Meat Mommy?
I think, I don't remember. We were together at the time.
Sounds like a Christina thing.
I don't know. But anyways.
See, if Tom thought that, he wouldn't say it out loud.
That's true. I think I said Side Meat.
Even Tom.
So you're going to lay on your side and he's going to spoon you and then he's going to put his peener in that way and that should be a shallower thrust. I'm surprised that doggy gives her that kind of pain because doesn't doggy it makes a shallower thrust as well. Missionary would hurt more, I imagine, on the cervix.
It depends on the person and how they're sort of angled and stuff. Yeah.
So find the angle that works. Yeah.
Right. You got to work on it.
Do a shallower position.
Right. She has a shallow vagina. And
yeah.
I'm actually kind of worried about the cervix itself. I mean, does she have any inflammation of the cervix? Does she have endometriosis? Is there something that's upstream from that a little bit that's making things uncomfortable?
Pushing out the cervix.
Yeah. So take a look at that. My boyfriend has a pretty big dick. Thank you for recording all this stuff.
Have your vagina looked at.
People, some women like the cervical hit, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's sort of, there's a bunch of nerves in there, so it can be good.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I know what Christina's opinion is, though. Not so much.
It feels like an electrical shock. It's not pleasant for me.
Interesting.
So maybe for her too, yeah.
Boyfriend is all kinds of abnormal anatomically. He was a child in the 80s. He had to have his appendix removed. The surgeon was shocked to find it wasn't in the right place. He has a scar in his lower abdomen where it should have been, but according to him, his mother and the surgeon, and his mother ended up elbow deep in his body because his appendix was up under his rib cage. He also has what feels like a second breastbone on the right side of his chest, like a bony growth. Is he just an alien? So appendices can end up all over the place.
What?
Yeah, they flip around, they move. They just, it's not that it was where it was anatomically where it was supposed to do, but it flipped up under his diaphragm.
Wow.
And when it's inflamed and stuff, it can get stuck up there and whatever. And I've seen people that we think they're having tubal ovarian abscess, ends up being an appendix that just flipped over onto the
body. It's a floating organ.
Yeah, so that's not all that weird, all that abnormal. It's all.
I have a stupid question.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get severe gas pains under my rib cage, and I mean under my rib cage. I take like Gas-X and I fart, and then it's gone. So I know it's gas.
On the left side?
Oh, under both rib cage. It's gas. I know it because I get it after I eat ice cream. If I lay down,
that makes no sense. Because after you eat ice cream, the ice cream is in your stomach. And your stomach is not connected to your, I mean.
It feels like it's under my ribs.
Which is where your stomach is.
Okay, so
but the
gas.
Farting and all that is way downstream hours later.
Well, so the farting, so I take like simethicone, right? That's the component, Phazyme or something. Yeah. And then it pushes the fart down. The pain goes away.
It doesn't push the fart down. It might help with the gas accumulation that somehow you're getting from the ice cream. I don't know why.
Ah.
But the fart is hours away from getting to your colon.
What is this mystery?
I don't know. Maybe it just stimulates there's something called the gastrocolic reflex. Certain things can stimulate your stomach, like hot coffee, that then stimulate the colon to do stuff, and then farts can emerge.
Oh, wow.
See?
Gosh, see, my mind is blown, yeah.
Chest bone connected to the... Wow. I got herpes about a year ago. I take suppressive meds every day, just having a tough time getting close to someone again. Almost stopped completely looking for a partner. Confidence is in the shitter. Any tips? And are BJs just not a thing for me anymore? Is this a male?
Sounds like
on the ween. Yeah, the male. It's an interesting question.
Yeah.
So he's appropriately trying to not expose other people to this thing.
Yeah. So you take something every day to suppress
medicine,
the virus,
which suppresses it like 96%, but
that's amazing.
Not 100%. So he should be using a condom on top of that, right? And even then, it's not 100%. He's got to at least tell partners that. And BJs. That transmission is pretty unusual. It's probably if somebody's on suppressive medication.
Okay. But if there's an outbreak or he's about to have one.
You can do it. You can send it to somebody's mouth. So it's not zero.
Yeah.
It's not zero. Weirdly, I've seen lots of outbreaks in people's mouths and they're like, oh, it's just my mouth. And weirdly, the same infection on their genitalia, they freak out about.
Well, yeah, because there's more shame about your genitals.
It's the same infection.
I know, but... I think it's more painful too on your genitals.
No, the throat ones can be pretty horrible.
On your throat.
Yeah.
So I guess the point is maybe you're not going to get a beach unless you get into a serious relationship.
Yes.
And you can
don't worry.
You can tell when you're getting a burst, right? A herpes outbreak.
Yeah, yeah. Can be sometimes, but sometimes the viral shedding precedes all that, so you have to be careful. But it's very, very common, and I'm glad he doesn't feel just you know completely devastated by it. He's still trying to go out there and stuff. That's good.
It's tough.
I have explosive shits every morning, regardless of what I eat. As soon as I finish breakfast, I'm just destroying the toilet. I knew this would make you happy. I knew this. Sometimes multiple trips. Annie, is this you? Did you send this in?
No, Annie's the opposite.
When he does it, it's multiple trips. Oh. This doesn't happen any other time of the day. What's the problem? Again, that's that gastrocolic reflex.
Gastrocolic reflex.
Warm stuff hits your stomach. Here it comes. And by the way, it's been working its way down all night and stuff. So
you stimulate that.
Yeah. So I want to go back to do a little rational revolution.
Sure. I'd love to. Let's talk about
because,
stuff.
Because I need your help.
Sure.
We're in an outbreak.
Yeah.
We need to be careful. We need to be adults.
I thought you meant herpes for a second.
No.
We're in a herpes outbreak.
The COVID outbreak. And it's interesting how herpes is not people.
You, got herpes on the mind.
Adam Carolla started doing a poll. Herpes or COVID, which we'd rather get?
COVID.
Right. Which tells you how mild COVID is.
Oh, that's such a good game.
Right?
What do you guys take, herpes or COVID?
I'll take COVID.
I know, because herpes keeps coming back.
So think about it. You're willing to get COVID over a rash.
Well, if you,
over a recurrent rash.
But that it still has psychological trauma.
I understand
trauma.
It. And there's all this stigmatizing
polio,
stuff.
Polio or herpes?
Herpes.
In a minute, herpes.
In a second, that's right.
Yeah.
So doesn't that tell you where COVID stands relative to other illnesses?
Yes, 100%.
Right? And that these things that bring things into focus is what I've been sort of ruminating about these days.
Mm.
And unfortunately, I've got my father in my head. This is what I want to help you with. So I've got all this Eastern European background.
Yeah,
too,
I love
it. And so I need help from your heritage.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need me to make you stronger.
Probably, or something. And so he is a good Ukrainian Jew, and he was a very fine family practitioner, and he died a few years ago. And I know, he's talking to me.
Yes.
He would be going, Drew, shut everything down for a flu?
The flu? Does he have an
flu?
Accent, your dad?
No.
But
I'm sure he'd bring one in if you needed to, for a fact. For the flu? He goes, we had polio. It was killing children. And we didn't close society down for... And I watched thousands of kids. The flu... He would die again. He would die a second death. It would absolutely kill him. And so he's in me, and it's making me a fucking gadfly around here because I'm taking issue with everything that the government is doing because I want an evidence base for what they're doing. And that's what we need in a rational recovery is evidence for what we do.
I agree. Evidence-based. And if you look at the mortality rate, which is, and I think too, it's helpful to understand how doctors talk and think.
Well, here's the one way we think. This is one of the things that's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
Is we think do no harm, right?
Right.
Do no harm, do no harm, do no harm. I've beaten up 1,000 residents in internal medicine over this where I've gone, why'd you do that? And they go, I had to do something. Don't ever say that to me again. Mm. I had to do something is how you kill patients. Mm. I had to do something is how you harm people. Tell me what the evidence basis for doing something in that moment was. Defend it. That's fine. But I had to do something is totally unacceptable.
But that's the rationale now, right?
For all the public health actions.
You have to do something.
They literally have said out loud, I've heard it multiple times, the public health officials going, we have to do something. It crushes me when I hear that because it's like, you people are not, now I know why you have to have a physician in that job. Because these are all sociologists and epidemiologists making these decisions. They have no fucking idea how to make a decision like
this. Well, and also nobody knows if is locking yourself in the house necessarily better than going about our business.
It suggests worse. The data, the evidence suggests worse. So
that's what I'm hearing.
I mean, here's my fundamental problem. Why do we have to use a sledgehammer when we actually have scalpels hanging around?
Right.
We know, for instance, in Los Angeles, Hispanics are doing horribly, really bad.
And why is that?
That's my question.
Oh.
And by the same token, we have an African-American community that's doing better than the rest of the country.
Hmm.
Why is that? Let's go study that. Take your scalpel out. Let's figure out what they're doing over in the African-American community. And let's bring it over to this other side where they're having trouble and figure out what that is and intervene where there's... That's what public health always was. Where do you think they found Typhoid Mary?
Hmm. Mary, I remember her.
Typhoid Mary. It's because they had an outbreak of typhoid.
Yeah.
And they went to find where it was coming from. They didn't close
that bitch Mary.
They didn't close the city down.
Yeah.
They went and tried to figure out.
Isolate.
They used their brains to quarantine the source.
Well, I think what you're saying is that
I'm saying rational.
Yeah,
be rational.
It's anti-science, the way that this was handled.
But they're saying it's in the name of science, and I'm so offended by that. They keep saying, we're following the science, You don't even know what you're talking about.
They're not. It's an anti-scientific approach.
In the name of science.
In the name of science. But what I originally was thinking is, when I hear doctors talk about this virus, they say the word mortality rate.
Yes.
Now, average people like us, we don't think in terms of mortality.
Right.
But when you hear a doctor say, oh no, the mortality rate is extremely low on this virus, then that's when you go, oh, that's how they gauge actual danger of these things. The mortality rate is what on COVID?
It depends on your age group, but it's overall like 1%.
1% of people die from this thing.
So here's the thing.
That's huge.
Here's my probability of cure of my prostate cancer is 90%.
Right.
Not 99% like COVID likely to recover, 90%. And since my prostatectomy, with my prognosis at 90% cure, I have considered that cured.
Yeah.
When you're talking about 99% recoveries, you are going to recover.
You're cured, yeah.
The problem is we have the press who finds those 1% stories, and when there's millions of people getting sick, there's going to be tens of thousands of nasty stories. They find every one and push it in front of us, and so everyone, that's me. Then the narcissism kicks in.
Mm.
Now, put your Eastern European hat on, which is sort of narcissistic.
Yeah.
And so how should we deal with the narcissism of thinking about everything is going to happen to me? I'm going to be that 1%. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, that's going to die?
Yeah.
It's unlikely.
Or it's my mom.
Highly improbable that it's going to be you.
I can't hear you when you talk like that. So do it with an accent. Maybe I can hear
this you. This is highly improbable. That's right. I would never use it. Nah, this is what my dad would say, man. Nah, it's fucking not going to happen. Stupid.
Okay. Don't be a pussy.
Yeah, no, it's not gonna fight. Right. No, this is exactly.
Better.
Hold on, this is my
feeling
dad.
Better.
This is my dad. You're not gonna fucking die from this, okay? You're gonna have more chance of dying in a car accident.
You die of something else.
By the way, let me tell you, I was driving down the Wilshire. They have this billboard. It says, "How many people dying of cigarettes this year?" Mm-hmm. How many you think?
In the United States or in California?
Yes.
United States?
Yes, in the United States.
2.5 million.
So far this year, 500,000. Mm. How many people die of this stupid COVID?
300,000.
Okay, so smoking killing more people.
Yes.
So is McDonald's.
That's true.
Heart disease killing these fat fuckers.
True, it just went ahead. COVID just moved ahead of heart disease for the moment. Yes,
yeah,
it did.
But should we outlaw this McDonald's?
Yeah. This McDonald's.
This is
thing.
The same thing.
Yes, I think we should think about this McDonald's being.
This is true because these are fat people dying more from eating McDonald's.
Fat people?
Yeah, of course. These fat fucks, lazy piece of shit, fatsoes dying, taking up hospitals.
I see. So you have you have a solution to the situation in our country, the obesity epidemic. You have a solution.
This is obesity killing more people than this stupid fucking COVID.
Yes, yes.
So let's kill the fat people.
What about, I don't know about killing the fat people. How about
round them up. You put them in work camp.
That's not a rational recovery. How about we control some of the fats and the carbohydrates that they're consuming? We change the way we...
Change the laws, yeah.
Change the food.
Change the laws. Round them up. Well, that's the thing. So are we going to regulate... why aren't we canceling McDonald's?
I know.
That McDonald's is killing
more
people.
Well, here's the problem. We're speaking from the rational recovery, everybody. Ready?
Yeah.
This idea one death is too many is an insane idea. There's no way to prevent death.
But you're
from
thinking
this.
Like a utilitarian. That thinking is not real.
It's not real. People are going to die from COVID. There's nothing we can do about that. We can diminish it. We can reduce it. We work hard to reduce it. But this business of one is too many.
Do you know what I think it is? I think we think because we have the internet that we've defeated life, that we've defeated biology. We've defeated shit that's just going to fucking happen.
Right.
Guess what, fools? There's going to be a virus that's going to take these old motherfuckers out.
And aging generally. We have, this is my next topic that's for rational recovery.
Go ahead, bro.
We need to talk about end of life and how we want to die and what we want to do if we get bad illnesses. Like if you really wanted to snuff out Tom at his present condition, I mean, maybe.
How much is that life insurance worth? I don't know.
I don't know.
Do I get it if he does it playing basketball?
Or if next time he's with Bert, just go, hey, man, I'm not going to. Next time we're going to let it go. So, but no, seriously, that I, for instance, never want to be in a nursing home ever. If I am so demented or so physically debilitated that I need round-the-clock institutional care,
oh my God,
that will not. I will not go. I will die at home, period, end. If I have a terminal illness, I don't want machines and all that stuff, especially if I'm over 80 years of age. That's just cruel. It's cruel. And people should be talking to their family members about this.
Just hook me up with some Dilaudid, bro. Like, give me that extra.
The families can't deal with it. They can't deal with the grief of dying. Yeah, of dying. They just don't. They want to divert. They don't want them to die. It's too painful. And so you put people through. I've been witness to it a million times. Putting people through horrible things in the name of the family, avoiding grief. And the doctors have to follow the family directives unless the patient has made it clear ahead of time.
Can you
and
say
that's
kill
what you
me
must
now?
Do?
Can you say? Can you
certain
elective
states, certain states?
Which states are these? Texas,
Oregon,
Florida,
Texas. I want to circle back to my dad and the flu and all that stuff.
So what's your guilt? What's your issue with his voice in your head?
Well, because it's making me a gadfly out here.
Oh,
it's
you think you're annoying people with that?
Yeah, it's making me.
It's making you agitated.
Agitated, and when I see the non evidence based decision making, I get crazy.
It
and
makes
I see
me crazy, too.
And I see people suffering. I mean, Susan and I went to dinner three nights in a row. Went to three restaurants every night, and we're just handing out money for tips and things, just because we felt so bad for these people. They're going to lose their jobs across Christmas.
I know.
And the people that are doing that seem to be like they don't care. I could not sleep if I were the one making that decision.
Oh, but Gavin Newsom's eating at the French Laundry.
I couldn't go to bed, let alone eat at French Laundry. I mean, I mean, it just is breathtaking what they're doing to people who are hardworking. And by the way, not a single transmission in their environments of work.
Well, because don't you think the waiters and waitresses would be coming down with COVID left and right if
not
it was transmitted
one,
in the restaurants?
Not
I know.
One
it's killing
case.
Me.
So
So, okay.
So anyway,
so what
so
do you,
we'll see
you
what
want
the
me to tell you
something?
You're right. You're validated.
Wait. But here's the thing. This is the part that I wanted to get to.
Okay.
Which is, so therefore, by being a gadfly and questioning and blah, 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 I'm a grandmother killer. I'm an elder. I want to kill old people, right? That's my goal. All my patients are old, by the way. I do not want to kill them. And by the way, put the locus of control back into the old people's hands. When you ask them, hey, what would you like us to do on Thanksgiving? They're like, fuck, I have maybe two Thanksgivings left. You wouldn't take that one away from me, asshole? I'm coming to Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Ask the people that you want to protect and if they say I want to be 100% protected, then do it by Zoom.
Great, but we're That's protecting all. Them with yeah. the vaccine. We're protecting them.
But we're coming.
Segment.
But the point is, let them live their lives. They're furious with their younger children for cutting them off from their grandkids and things. But here's something I've been through other pandemics, right? And this one has been just weird. And during the HIV epidemic, where hundreds of thousands of people died. And every time somebody transmitted, it was certain death for the other person.
Mm-hmm. And HIV in the beginning, absolutely, yeah.
Not the beginning. It's well, yeah, before we had treatments. Before
now
we had
they
treatments.
Can say you say alive.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now we have treatment. Now it's a chronic illness. But back in the 80s and the 90s,
yeah,
it was
death.
It was death, and we were in a pandemic.
Yeah,
it involved a very highly motivated behavior, sexual behavior. And we didn't shut sexuality down, right? We didn't say, don't ever have sex again.
You guys scared the shit out of
me. We scared the shit out of people. Yeah. We overstated it. I worked with Dr. Fauci on this.
Yeah.
We overstated it, but we didn't say, here's what we didn't say to the people that were having sex. You're killing, you're a murderer. You killed your partner.
That's so true.
We never said that.
I know.
Can you imagine saying, you're a murderer if you have sex?
Yeah, I know. And
now
we're
saying, you're
mantra.
A murderer if you don't wear a mask. You're a murderer. It's the weird. It's the
well,
opposite
I think too,
of public health.
Is the morality shaming, right? So right now, the worst thing you can be called is immoral. You are transphobic. You're racial. You're racist. You are not doing the moral thing. So we're in this weird puritanical finger pointing era versus a reasonable era. It's hysteria. I know. It's like the Salem witch hunts. I think this is rooted in our puritanical roots.
Heritage.
No? Yeah. There's
we've been through
about
it before.
That.
We did it with the McCarthy thing.
Yeah,
we're doing it now. We seem to go through cycles where we do this. Yeah.
Yes, it's in our. So just be aware that it will pass. I believe in 2021, once people can have a Coke and a smile and get their vaccine and get on with it and get
You're
laid.
Promising
and
me?
I 100%.
Oh.
Springtime in 2021, I think is going to be. I know I say this every few months
for COVID.
We're gonna be just fine. I think so. Right. I think
I'm ready
the
for
vaccine.
That vaccine. I'm coming quick. I'm going to go get it. Like I said, I'm either going to sign up for the J&J phase 3.
The J&J.
Johnson
&
Johnson.
That's what you guys call it in
J&J.
The biz.
Mm-hmm, the biz. Or I'm going to, I'm going to go get the vaccine as fast as I can. It's not coming fast enough. I'm sort of
Did you see the
that.
First woman to take it in Britain?
In the UK? No,
it was an older. She's 91 years old, and she's like, fuck it. What am I going to do? I'd rather take this than stay inside.
Right.
You're right. Back to what you were saying. Like, the elderly, I think they want to live.
They're on a you are taking from them a precious commodity, their time in the world. You're guaranteeing cashing that time in for a 10% risk of an illness that they might not even get.
Oh, that's nuts.
Right? If I'm 80 and they're doing that to me, the group I'm most worried about, here's one of the things I am worried about. So back to rational recovery. Sorry to go off on all this, but I needed to talk to Christina. This is the only way I get her. She's busy wiping Tom's ass the rest of the time. And so I have
Such
to, I can't call her because
what
every time
nightmare.
She goes, I'm here with
My
Tommy.
Wife.
We're wiping his ass. Do you want to see an x-ray of his
Tom
arm?
Tom farted. Yeah. Everybody applaud.
So, by the way, he did send me those x-rays. It's very impressive. Very well done. What was I saying? So I wanted to talk
to old people wanting to enjoy their lives.
The thing I worry about is we're rushing to vaccinate the elderly in nursing homes who have a life expectancy of 6 to 12 months, everybody.
Once
that
you're
is
in
the
a
life,
nursing home, that's it for you?
6 to 18 months is the average life expectancy in a nursing home. So we're rushing to give to them. And I've got all these 80, 85-year-olds that have maybe 10 years to go who are robust. You're going to wait to give it to them? They're the ones that should be getting it up front in terms of
quality of life.
Rational.
Yeah, but you can't think this way anymore. Again, there's no there's no reason. It's all based
That's
on your
why
feelings.
We need the rational revolution.
Yeah, but you're just so male and toxic and you're masculine scientific thinking.
It's white too. It's white.
Oh, and you're
men.
White and you're cisgender too.
Oh,
on top of
it's
it.
So bad. I must not see the truth. It's true. I may have a blind spot, but I'm just saying. I long for a rational recovery.
How do you feel about people that play a lot of video games and stay inside?
I think that's
it's depressing.
It's depressing. It's a waste.
I think
Why
so
is that you?
No, because I talked to you about it where my mom's at, and I got some angry emails from Gen Yers and Zers who are like, "You don't understand."
Well, let me be.
Gaming's awesome. Girls do it too.
All right, so let me be sympathetic to their point of view.
Okay,
I have noticed my sons have been doing a bit of that as that millennial and Gen Z, they see it as a self-soothing thing.
Yeah, it's like masturbating. Yeah.
Masturbating or us watching stupid television.
It's
or
like
something.
TV. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like 90
yeah,
Day
yeah.
Fiance for us. Let's be fair. And by the way, I've been off that a little bit lately.
Yeah, me too.
I consider that's a good sign.
I'm under the Crown.
Yeah, me too. And Queen's Gambit.
Oh, done. I love it.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
But I feel like my reduction in 90 Day Fiancé viewing is my health returning. I really do.
Because that is the bottom of the barrel. Like once you get into those types of shows, you're depressed.
Yes. That's exactly how I looked at it. I was like, this is a horrible sign. They were watching. Yeah. We're looking forward to the first look on Friday night. And they were watching for Sunday.
It's bad. And I know I'm depressed is when I'm really invested in their personalities. And
I should be doing those reunions for 90 Day Fiancé.
I would love for you.
I mean,
to
the fact
those.
That I'm not, is that's the other thing I get pissed off by.
But I get really deep on it. Yeah, I'm like, why did they say that?
You get deep on it. You keep Tom texts me 3 or 4 times questions about what's his name with the
Ash with the eyes. That's what I was thinking about just now as I said that. I'm like,
thyrotoxicosis.
What's up with his eyes? Why is he acting like that? What personality disorder does he have? I love it. I love diagnosing people on these shows.
Yeah, I told you she's the one that scares me.
I know. I still don't see that.
Although a friend of mine's a dentist who he has this dental podcast, and she used to be a dental hygienist, which you don't know. And he brought her on, so she was sort of lovely and nice. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Again, this is
if she can sustain work as a dental hygienist,
she quit.
Oh,
why?
Well, because I'm saying my mom is a borderline, had a really hard time sustaining friendships
work.
Or work.
Yes, that is borderline stuff.
Yeah. So if she could sustain a gig, and especially working with the public as a dental hygienist, then I would say, she's not that borderline.
Yeah.
She could be mildly borderline. I don't know.
Yeah. And know that reality shows, they carefully cast people that are not well. You know, that's sort of what they do.
What?
I'm sorry.
Road rules.
Let's hear
it. Yes, they did. I saw my casting Bible when I worked at Buna Murray. I got to sneak upstairs and I opened the Bible.
When?
This is like, I worked in casting after I graduated college when I was like 24 or something. And I got to see how they put us all together and what the psychology was behind
how you fit together. They had sort of roles they needed to fill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which one were you?
So at the time I was like the philosopher, dark, brooding, depressed, whatever.
Oh, you're the goth chick.
The goth chick.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to get along with Piggy, who's like the girl from Britain, because I had just come back from England and they thought we were going to be BFFs, and that did not happen. We hated each other.
And they liked that even better.
Oh, they wanted me to hate Susie, who was like the blonde Barbie all-American. And she was wonderful, and she and I were lovely friends.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it was funny. It didn't work out that way.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool.
So Nadav is like very anxious that I should listen to these voice messages, because I've been asking for some of our female fans to bring us the voice messages. So here they are.
Yeah, you've always been saying that the females
I have.
Bring the different flavors.
Yes,
so
they do.
Here are the female flavors of Dr. Drew After Dark.
Let's do it.
Bitches.
Hey, mommies. So I had a question about browns and buttholes. And Dr. Drew, I know you really started specializing in this area at 50, so I think you could answer this question for
me. Wait, I started specializing when?
Growing up,
buttholes.
When did I? My dad, go ahead.
But I did start to notice a pattern. You see, every time my dad would drop an extra nasty bomb, he would burst blood vessels in his eyes, and it would be red and bloody for a week. Now, I moved out now and an adult, but every once in a while, if I get lucky, I get to see the red shame on his eyes, and I know exactly what went down. Is this normal, or is my dad officially a really cool guy? Love you, mommies, and okay, Drew, now don't be stingy. You come now.
That was cool. That was a good one. The chicks are gnarlier than the dudes.
They're
that
gnarlier.
Are into YMH stuff.
They're the best.
They're the best. They're just so cool.
Oh. So he just is a constipated guy, and he has to push really hard, and he gets what's called a subconjunctival hemorrhage. Yeah.
But Drew, how hard are you pushing?
Very hard. It's like vomiting.
Yeah, but I gave birth to two children and didn't burst.
But some people are prone to that, or maybe he's on aspirin therapy or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, how about when you puke when you're drunk?
Yes.
And then
you can do that. Yeah, it happens.
So your dad just is constipated. He just needs more fiber.
Yeah.
So he's not a cool guy. He just doesn't eat right.
He needs to attend to his load a little better.
For Metamucil crackers.
Yes.
Those are awesome.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've gotten into the powder lately. Not Metamucil, but some other stuff I found.
Oh.
And it's like drinking oatmeal, and it's good.
That's exciting.
I like it. It's fun every day. So, okay, what else we got from the young ladies?
Hello, my name is Liz. I'm a 32-year-old woman. I have been on a variety of antidepressants for the last 10 years or so, currently on Prozac, and I like it. It's fine. I fall under the category of low libido caused by antidepressants, as far as I can tell, and I also don't care to fix it. I'm fine with it.
Okay.
But every once in a while, and it has nothing to do with my cycle necessarily, because I've tried to pay attention to it, I'll get like ravenously horny for a day or two, maybe, and then it passes. Just wondering what that is. How does that break through the sort of fog?
Is
it hormonal? Is it something else? I don't know. Just curious. Love you guys. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, honey. I'm home. You know what I'm talking about? Hi, honey, I'm home.
Heil, honey.
Oh, dude, I never shared this with you.
What are you talking about?
Show me Heil Honey.
Oh, this is
I showed it to you.
Sitcom. Yeah.
Okay. So the SSRIs will really shut your libido down, and the fact that you have any breakthrough is a good sign. You can sort of try to get the dose down as low as possible. Prozac's pretty powerful in terms of screwing with your libido, and yes, it is a hormonal thing that when you break through like that. And some women are very sensitive to the cycle.
Bruh.
Yeah.
You know what it is, girl? You're ovulating.
Yeah.
That should mean that your egg is coming out and you could get pregnant. So, like, don't fuck or whatever, unprotected, like, those times.
That tends to be the case. and it's the progesterone and the androgen, the testosterone.
Oh, it makes you rannier.
It makes you good. So, for some women, some are kind of shut down and tired by and irritable.
By ovulation?
Yeah. Every woman is so different. This is what screws men up, I have to tell you.
I know.
So,
you're just ovulating, girl.
Give me another one.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Drew. My name is Samantha, and I have been in a relationship with my boyfriend for about 4 years. I knew early on that he had a foot fetish, but I've also come to find out that he has what it's called a crush fetish. So he has a plethora of saved porn videos and pictures on his computer from random women he's paid online to crush bugs or insects with their bare feet.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't participate in this fetish, but I do let him touch my feet and things like that. But the problem is, I think he's masturbating to that porn more than he actually wants to have sex with me, which makes me feel super undesirable. But he's told me time and time again that that's not the case. It's just a kink that for him, it just works. And in my mind, I don't imagine that this fetish is going to go away anytime soon.
That's
so
true.
My question is, do I A, participate in this, B, move on, or C, just try and make it work without it? But anyways, just wanted your thoughts, or if you had ever encountered someone with something similar. So
that's anyways, a rare
thank
one.
You so much. Love the show, and the hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Samantha. Women are such
stupid bitches.
No, they're such they're so good natured. Like, she's willing to go along with this. She says they're such sports. She's such a sport.
Accommodating.
I mean,
it's
she
trained
think
to
about
be.
Think yeah, so accommodating. Think about the fact that she compared to a foot crushing a beetle, she's not quite as attractive as the beetle being smushed by a heel. But don't feel bad, honey. And she's like, oh, okay. What can I do to help make it better? She's right. It's not going away. True fetish, and this sounds like a real fetish. Yes, he is masturbating to that more than anything else. Trust me, when guys are into it, the true fetish, you need the fetish in order to function properly sexually. So there's that issue. And these kinds of extreme fetishes don't usually exist in a vacuum. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder what else going on here.
Oh, really? You mean there's other corollary?
Tends to be not necessarily bad. And he's right. It's just what he's into. Whatever he's into, that's fine for him and whatever. But it usually pieces of him are sort of connected to that maybe you're not getting exposed to, let's say.
Pieces of him are connected. Well, I don't understand. You're talking to
parts of himself, maybe traumatized parts of himself or something. That maybe he's not aware of it. But
unconscious stuff.
Yeah, that sort of may need some attention down the road. That's all I'm saying.
I would ask you, how much do you like this guy? Is this marriage material? If he's marriage material, get your toes done and squash some bugs and let him get his schmackle hard. Big deal. It's an easy fetish to accommodate.
Well, it depends.
Not a big deal.
Unless they're big potato bugs or something. If it's ants, good.
Who's the girl and who's the boy in this relationship group? So, I'm saying.
We switch back and forth, honey.
I know. I think that if you really, really are into him and this is it. You just got to go to yourself. Am I willing to step on bugs barefoot for the rest of my life?
That's a great way to look
at
it.
That's what this guy needs. Yeah. It's not a want. It is a need.
Yeah.
So, if you don't want to do that, forget it. Next, on to the next one.
So accommodating. Speaking of next one, I want to get a little TikTok going here. So
I
want you to, take me through some
TikToks. Can you do the old man one, the last one on this list? This one's
okay. Uh-oh.
So this TikTok's for my mom. Mom, remember that Chanel bag I really wanted that you wouldn't buy for me? I let an old man fuck me for it. Fuck you, bitch.
I love her. She's definitely one of the cool guys from your mom's house.
Cool guys.
Is there more to this?
No. You don't. This is a whole story. Like, what more do you even know?
Oh, no. I know the whole story. I'm just wondering if she goes on. It just sounds like she got a little momentum there.
But what do you think's going on there?
I think there are a group of young ladies out there that will do the sugar daddy thing just to get what they want.
But I think the element of F you, mom. You didn't buy this for me. I'm going to show you. And that's an interesting, because I agree. There's women that are just like, hey, I want a nice handbag. I'm going to bang this guy for it.
Right.
Gotcha.
This is sort of in the, I do not know this young lady. I'm not meaning to shame her. This is just sort of what I'm seeing in this little TikTok is sort of sociopathic. Right? Right? Like, I'm going to have sex, which I don't care about, for a purse, which I care about, and I'm going to use it to bludgeon my mom.
Wow.
That's a pretty sensitive individual right there.
That's why I talked to you about this.
Female sociopaths are really dangerous.
Let's talk about that.
Would you like
to? I'm interested in
that. There's you know the H3 podcast?
Yes, I love Ethan and Ela. Okay, they're my favorite people.
So I'm going to go on with Ethan and what's her
Ela.
Name?
Or no, you're talking about the other one that he does with Trisha Paytas.
With Trisha and Ethan. And we're going to...
So they're called their frenemies or frenemies, best frenemies.
Yeah. So yeah. I've been on it before, tried to help them through. And it was really kind of interesting. And God bless Trisha. She was very forthcoming with her pathology. And she had it all. She knew.
She's great.
Yeah,
man.
She was great. And so we're going to go back now and we're going to test... Much like it did with for the Howard Stern show and stuff, I'm going to do that for that whole group. And we have new things now. We have something called test.
I love it.
So we don't just have
psychopathy.
We don't just now have the narcissism test, but we have the dark triad test.
Sweet.
Yes.
But explain that to people.
Which is sociopathy and narcissism. And so we've gotten sicker.
Yeah.
And we've moved right on past narcissism and on into sociopathy. And to me, it feels like we've become histrionic, all this hysteria.
Histrionic.
Yeah. And so anyway, we're going to start measuring for those phenomena now what we find. And, I think this young lady would score pretty high on that scale.
Gosh, was it your podcast I was listening to where you discussed the rise of the narcissism and the...
I talk about it all the time.
It was on your
podcast. I've always talked about it.
I forgot what the person had said. It was a psychologist that you were speaking to about this.
I bring it up all the time because it is astonishing.
Yeah.
And it's problematic. And it's what the mess is we're in is sort of fundamentally because our personalities are going a certain way. And what I keep advocating is connecting, sharing with other humans.
Other humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, too, in light of this accident that Tom was in? You know, I'm always struck by people who their first inclination is to run to social media and share the tragedy.
Yeah.
Like I went dark on my stuff for a few days.
Yeah.
Listen, you know how much I love curating my talks. I didn't curate talks for like 48 hours. It was... Wow. Really crazy for me. I had no desire.
That's like
no desire.
That's like
to curate.
Giving up heroin.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, incredible.
And I'm like, well, that to me felt more normal to not want to take to social media and be like, my husband's in the hospital. Because I'm like, oh, this is private. And then you're right. There seems to be no delineation between public and private anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this compulsive need to share every little thing.
Bullhorn. To yell it out to the crowd. It's like weird. Yeah.
It's not self-protective. I would say
only exist if you exist in this sort of ether. And the ether is not real. The real is between two people.
Yeah.
That's what's real. You know, people have lost track and then they don't trust it. They don't feel comfortable in it. They don't have boundaries in it.
Uh-huh.
And they do shit like this young lady does.
Yeah.
So let's see another talk while we're at it. Just get a couple of TikToks in. I know we've been indulging ourselves in our conversation, but we've been apart for a while, and you understand a lot's gone down while we've been apart.
Good morning, my queen above 18.
Yeah.
Yes, it's time to wake up. Come on. Yes, you are my queen. What?
Uh-oh.
How did you sleep? I slept good.
I guess
did
so
you
weird
sleep good?
It really gets me.
I hope you're rested and be ready for work. All right, my queen, it's time to get up and you have a good day and call me when you can. I love you, my queen. You have a beautiful day.
For the first time, I wanted to be like a little Perushka in his head to know what the hell's going on in his head.
I want to know.
Is he like a sinister, cruel mastermind inside, or does he really want these young ladies just to feel good and he kind of gets off on it?
Now who's the forgiving?
I'm just saying.
You're so sweet.
It could
right
go
now.
Either.
You're so accommodating.
It could go either way. It could go either way. It's all I'm saying.
I think judging by the reaction in the booth, they don't agree with you.
Yeah, but I'm going to be...
It's going a certain way,
I'm
going
to be taking that doc triad test to those guys, trust me. They'll be taking it soon.
Well, look, let's go through this because this video I thought about for a week or two.
Like, why? It
was, man, first of all, it's the POV. He's pretending that she is under him and he's shirtless and he's like, we've had a night together.
Is that what he's doing?
Bro, yeah.
I just thought it was just he just rolled out of bed and his computer's down below and he's too lazy to lift it up.
Sweet Drew.
I know.
Sweet, naive,
it's more
Drew.
Than sweet. Naive, yes. Naive. Yeah. My boyfriend has a pretty big dick. And so
So it's a POV. It's like POV porn, right? So he's like,
it's already, I'm listening.
She's under me. Yeah. We just had a night together and he's like, oh, you're awake. And then he does an act him out where he's like, what's that?
Oh, I thought he was actually doing like a chat or something.
Oh, no.
Oh,
he's see, pretending.
I thought, oh, that's right. This is a TikTok. Okay. See, I got sucked into it. See, I was there under this, yes! this gentleman. I was there.
You were swept away by the romance of it all?
I was so, felt so positive being called a queen above 18 and how he was so, made me feel good about myself. And I just thought I'm in the chat room with him.
And that's the lure of the king. Is that he finds these women like you who need validation and who like it.
Yeah, I got to wrap the show up right now because I need to go vomit. Is that okay? Is that okay? I need to go throw up right
you're
now.
You're the audience he wants. You're the queen above 18. I can't believe you fell for it. He roped you in.
Completely.
Yeah. He romanced you, Drew.
Yeah, he did. I wonder what he's thinking. I wonder if he's thinking something nice about me.
Oh
maybe
God.
He's not just a dirty old... screwball. Maybe he's not a cool guy. Maybe he really means well for these people.
Well, I think, okay.
And me.
So to answer your question, because I've been an observer and a studier, a student of the king.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of both. I do think that he is a sweet guy at his core.
Like it feels good to him to like it's positive for him.
Yeah. And
if we were to confront him, he would go, well, I'm just trying to help these women feel better about this. It makes me feel good. Makes them feel good.
100%.
And then,
and if I jizz a little bit, bonus.
Big deal.
If I see some boobs,
it's all right.
Mazel.
So much.
I think that's what he's saying. It's like, who am I hurting because this is between consenting adults?
Yes, yes.
It's the kings and queens above 18. He makes it very clear.
No.
It's mutually consensual. I get to see tits. I make them feel good about themselves. It's mutually beneficial, he would argue. And he's not wrong.
I wonder if he's able to have relationships in real life because this is probably... Because this is probably consuming, and this thing is—he's doing a lot of this.
Yeah, it's a whole
this.
Business now. He's selling T-shirts. He's got his merch company,
and he's driving his truck.
He's driving the truck. He's a CEO now.
I just hope he doesn't ever like do Santa Claus. You know what I mean?
Don't you hate it when they pornoize Santa?
No, I don't mean pornoize Santa. I just don't want that guy volunteering to be a Santa ever
because
it has the right features. You know what I'm saying? I just keep
what are you trying
with
to
the
say?
Queen.
Are you fat shaming him?
I'm just
now?
Saying keep him with the queens. Keep with the queens. They're all right. Okay, one more TikTok.
Yeah,
come on.
You just got me rolling now. I'm happy again.
Skylar, you've been on hormones for 5 years. Mm-hmm. How are you about to have a baby? Well, that's simple. I'm stopping testosterone.
Duh.
And actually, I already have. I've been off testosterone for several months now. That's how I'm going to have a baby. But also the misconception is that folks who use testosterone can't get pregnant.
Duh.
That's very incorrect. Testosterone is not a birth control. You can still get pregnant while on testosterone. So what I've done is I've been off of it for several months so that I can have a healthy menses cycle and ovulation so that I can have the best pregnancy possible. So now that that has returned and I battle my dysphoria every month with it, I'm happy to say that I'm ready to start trying to have a baby. And that's a whole nother part. But the fact is I got here because I stopped taking testosterone because my body is getting ready without that hormone.
You see the T-shirt?
You must say meth head?
No.
Oh, what is it?
They, them.
Okay, yeah.
So haven't we seen them before?
Yes, we've seen them. So this person is really great about educating people on what non-binary stuff means.
Yeah.
And like they've taken us with them on their journey through hormones and stuff.
Yeah.
So they've decided to stop taking testosterone
in order to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, in order to cycle so they get pregnant. I mean, they probably could still get pregnant on testosterone, but screw the whole thing up probably. But and again, I'm worried about that stare. She's got a little white above the you know, she's got the like what's his name?
Yeah, Ash.
like Ash. And a little white above and that's and I started thinking, you know, testosterone fucks with all the other hormone binding globulins and things, and she may have a thyroid problem on top of that, which will affect her pregnancy. Good for them. Mazel, as you said.
Just that. No other deep reactions. Just be honest. I mean, it's fun, right? There's a lot. It's just funny. It's a lot. Because you're like, wait.
It's a lot.
I'm trying to follow. I'm like, wait.
It's a lot.
It's like, whoa.
And but here's the deal: it's not gonna get simpler by getting pregnant and having a baby. It's gonna get very complicated.
Way worse, man. Especially because your hormones are so crazy after you have a baby. I can't even imagine how they're gonna feel. How do you even? What happens to the
body?
Gonna,
and she's already. She was. They were saying they have dysphoria and stuff. And
that's
like,
going to be tough.
And it's interesting because I bet the dysphoria gets better with the testosterone, which is kind of interesting. So,
but maybe because they feel better when they're more male. The dysphoria.
Testosterone is an antidepressant.
Oh, is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah. You should talk to Susan about that.
I know.
Because they were telling her she was depressed. And then she got a proper replacement. She's like, "Are you fucking kidding me? This whole time, that's what it's been.
That's all it was a hormonal imbalance." Yeah. Yeah, there's just a lot of hormones going on in that person's body. It's got to be a really crazy town in there. Mm-hmm. It's a lot, dude. Mm-hmm. And their nails were very nice in that video.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah. Oh,
they're long and black, and I like that.
Oh, you like the black nails. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very goth.
Do you wish that they were your mom? Wouldn't that be wild? You're like, Mom, don't call me Mom. It's they them.
More I'm thinking...
You're like, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm literally sitting here thinking, how far was my mom off of that in her own version of what she was?
Yeah, I know, mine too.
Yeah, so...
It's probably what the attraction is for me.
It's just a modern version of stuff we were exposed to when we were kids.
It's true.
The same...
It's so true. Same shit, different toilet, so, as they say.
With the same shit, different toilet, we will see you all, speaking of that, next time. Thank you again, 818-253-1693 and drafterdark@gmail.com. And thank you to our Queens Above 18 voice messages who left us great messages. And I want more of those. They're always, I don't know, there's something less, they're harsh, but not so sinister.
You know, I feel you have a real self-loathing of masculinity inside of you.
Me?
Yeah. We need to talk about it.
We will in the next show, I promise.
Let's talk about this toxic masculinity
shaming.
All right,
we'll do that. Shaming my male.
Yeah, your inner male is just...
My male. Oh, I know where that comes from.
I know. So maybe too much testosterone.
Maybe it's okay to have a male shaming in there. We will see you all next time.
Bye, mommies.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.